Chapter 10. Down to Georgia. Summary. Davy consults with a colleague. It shouldn't have mattered that Davy and Aziraphel were a bit late getting back from their field trip. Davy intentionally kept his schedule light, and he liked knowing that, occasionally, a session could go a bit long. Flexibility is a good thing. So it didn't seem like an issue to Davy that it was already 11:53 when he turned off the forester, or that it was 11:55 by the time the two of them got back inside the building. His plan had been to spend a couple of minutes wrapping things up once they were in his office. But then it became very clear, very quickly, that this wasn't going to happen. There was a demon leaning against the door to Davy's office.
"Where have you been?"
Sunglasses demanded of Aziraphel. "We were on a field trip," Aziraphel said brightly. He walked straight on up to him like it was no big deal.
"A field trip?"
Could a demon speak without it coming out as a snarl?
"Therapy doesn't have field trips."
"Perhaps not yours, but mine does." Davy really wanted Sunglasses not to be physically touching his office door. There were a couple of chairs in the hallway, right across from his office. The demon could have sat in any one of them, as he was lying in wait, but he didn't. He would have been sitting in one of those chairs, it was only reasonable to think, if he believed Davy and Aziraphel had been in Davy's office. No one, not even a demon, would actually lean against the very door to the room that he thought his friend was currently in. You'd be leaning against the door like that, only if you knew the room on the other side of it was empty. How had he known? The demon shifted, finally, away from the door, but only so he could loom more thoroughly over Aziraphel.
"Where'd you go?"
"That, I should say, is between Dr. Hansen and me." Aziraphel made a point of turning an officious, conspiratorial smile over to Davy, and Sunglasses did not like that. He said,
"You didn't go get lunch, did you?"
"Of course not." Aziraphel huffed. "I can't believe you're jealous."
Jealous?
The demon was all mockery, all sputtering cruelty, and Davy didn't want any part of this.
"Jealous, I'm not."
Aziraphel patted his hand against the demon's shoulder. "I am sure, if you would like to go on a field trip of your own, Miss Time would be happy to oblige." Sunglasses really didn't seem to like being touched. Seeing how he turned thoroughly all his attention to the gesture, he glared at Aziraphel's hand until it was removed, and then he turned that hidden glare, and he settled it on Davy. He was hard-edged and bitter, and he wanted Davy to be frightened of him. Well, good for him. He got what he wanted.
"Come on,"
Sunglasses said, very certainly not to Davy.
"Let's go."
He didn't move, though. He wanted to leave, but he wasn't leaving. Not while Aziraphel was still standing in place. He stalked just behind Aziraphel, as if it were not an angel of the Lord he was trying to intimidate, but a sheep to be herded. Aziraphel paid no mind. He, too, turned his attention to Davy, but he smiled. It was vertiginous, just how pleasant he could be, even while that boiled-over, sneering face was so close beside him. "It was a lovely field trip, Dr. Hampson." The demon rolled his eyes, or maybe he did something even worse behind those sunglasses of his. "Till next week," Aziraphel said, a farewell. And then, finally, they left. It wasn't fair. It was not fair. The hallway was quiet, now that the two of them were gone. Davy was alone, and he had to force his breath to move the way it should. His tongue hurt. He was biting it. He had to stop that. He wasn't safe. He wanted to feel safe. If a demon could tell when his office was empty, could anywhere actually be safe? His keys were in his pocket. He pulled at them, but his fingers were fumbly. He was shaky. His hands were shaking. He had to concentrate to get the right key. He had to get it separated from the others so he could fit it in the lock. His eyes kept wincing closed, and that didn't help. His heartbeat shouldn't be so loud. He didn't like this. It wasn't this hard, just getting a door unlocked. This wasn't right. But he got it, and the lock turned, and the door unlatched, and... No. Oh. No. Davy had touched the door handle. He felt the metal of it on his fingertips before he could think better of it, before he could recoil and stop himself, and the feeling lingered. The demon had touched this door, and now Davy had touched this door, and what was evil if not a contagion? It really wasn't fair at all. As Davy wavered there in the hallway, watching as the door drifted slowly open, revealing to him all the safety and comfort of his office, he couldn't stop thinking about how unfair it was. The demon had been in his office before. He knew this. He didn't like it, but he knew it was true. He remembered it, and never had that knowledge left him feeling as unsafe as he felt right now. Never had that memory left his private space so contaminated, turned his office so viscerally and foreign as it was right now. It wasn't reasonable. It wasn't reasoned. But it's where Davy found himself, unmoving. And it certainly wasn't fair. If I go inside, I will have a panic attack. There was no reason why that should be true. He'd never had a panic attack in his office before, and it didn't fit his regular pattern. His office was his safe, cozy, loving, private space. The idea of succumbing to panic in there was ridiculous, it really was, but it was a risk. If he walked through the doorway, if he did in fact feel panic while in his office, would he ever be able to return to it again? Or would it, through his misery, be defiled and debased, and thus forever lost? Davy was playing with self-fulfilling prophecies. He knew it. He couldn't help it. The certainty was irrational, and thereby powerful. He could not pass through that threshold. Where else could he go? His feet started him moving. No, he was walking. The derealization of active choice was a mirage. He could make himself know that. He stopped outside Aubrey's door. Outside his office were just the chairs in the hallway, but her office was off a sort of enclave, a veritable waiting area. There was a coffee table and magazines. Occasionally, when he met with someone for the first time, they thought they were supposed to wait here, and Davy would have to come to collect them. It wasn't that far. Her door was closed. Had sunglasses knocked at Davy's door? Within the mere 5 minutes after the session's official end time, had he gone up to it and knocked? Had he kept knocking until satisfied there would be no answer? Or had he just known? You don't go knocking on a therapist's closed door. In emergencies, sure, if the building is on fire, if someone is dying, but you don't otherwise. Davy, obviously, didn't. He was sitting in the little kitchen, at the table. He'd walked from outside Aubrey's door to here. He was here now. Time was passing, but unsteadily. He wanted to go home. And, technically, he could. He had no appointments in the afternoon. His schedule was free. Why didn't he just go? Because if he were going to go home, he would have to walk past his office again, and that would mean confronting the open door, and that would mean either just walking on past without closing it, which would be capitulation, which would be unreasonable and a very worrying development, or he would have to reach out and touch it and be touched by it, and that would be... It wouldn't be anything. It would be fine. He wasn't stupid. Evil couldn't really be contagion, because if it were, that would mean... Hey, your door's wide open. Davy startled, jumped. He caught himself, just barely, and then he registered it was Aubrey. She was leaning her head in from the hallway, and she hadn't meant to take him by surprise like that. Scared the life out of me, Davy said, putting a hand to his chest. Then he laughed the way you do when someone has tripped your startle response. Aubrey winced, showing she felt bad about it. Your office. Doors open.
Oh, is it?
What a surprise.
Figured you'd want to know.
Thanks. If he didn't say anything more, she'd leave. That would be for the best. He wanted to be alone right now.
Hey, Aubrey.
Davy was struggling with being a well-constituted person at the moment. She waited for him to finish what he was saying, but there wasn't anything more coming. When she realized it, something shifted in her. He could see the moment she decided to come over and sit with him at the table. It was such an intentional thing, how she softened just enough. She wanted him to see that she was available to listen. She was the age of his baby girl, and here she sat, exuding a therapeutic stance. He didn't need that from her. He didn't want it.
What's up? She said.
He might as well take a stab at coherency, given how it was his own fault that she was in here, working compassionately at him. He wet his lips, and then he tried, "How are you not affected?" Her first impulse was to say, "By what?" He could see it, but that would be patronizing, and so she pursued a different path.
"Did something happen?"
He shook his head.
"You sure?"
"What I mean is," he tried again, "how do you make sure you're safe?"
"Safe from what?"
He really had to look straight at her to tell if she was joking. She wasn't. "You spend an hour every week sitting across from a..."
"Hypothetically."
His jaw tightened at the correction, but it was fine. It was okay. He had to recenter his mind, but he would manage.
"Fine, hypothetically, if you were to find yourself, once a week, sitting across from an actual demon, in your office, under those hypothetical circumstances, Aubrey, how would you make sure you were safe?"
"Safe from what?"
"From the demon!"
He hadn't meant to say it that loud. He felt bad, and he turned to look away from her, and he hoped no one was out in the hallway. He worried at his lip with his teeth. It didn't seem possible she could be this naive. Aubrey shifted. She folded her hands together and rested them on the table between them. He could see it out of the corner of his eye. That shift brought her closer to his side, which is the sort of physical move you make when you are inviting intimacy. He'd been doing this stuff since before she was born. When she spoke next, her voice was low with care. "Aziraphale didn't do something to scare you, did he?"
"Why, he... no?"
There was a miscommunication, something awful going on between them, and Davy had had his fill of feeling crazy.
"I guess I'm just tired, Zaw."
Well done, her. She didn't buy it. Too bad. This was stupid. He was being just so stupid, having wasted so much of his day already on weak-willed irrationality. "Welp," he hoisted himself up to standing. He would have given her his big smile, but that would require him to look her in the face, and then he'd feel exposed. So he just smiled enough to make sure she could hear it in his voice.
"See you around."
She didn't call out after him, try to stop him. She was perceptive. It was just a door, and he just had to close it. "There. Done. No big deal. Everything was fine. He could go home now." He only made the connection once it was the middle of the night. Aziraphale hadn't healed the unhoused man, because the miracle wouldn't serve to save his soul. Healings, apparently, were for people whose souls could be saved. And who was it that Aziraphale had healed? Davy was awake the whole rest of the night, with the potential implications. "Aubrey?" It was Coke Zero time, but Davy didn't bother pulling a can from the fridge. Instead, he went straight over to sit across from her. He leaned his arms on the table, felt the surface of it under his palms.
"Hey," she said, "I was worried about you."
That was sweet and also unnecessary. He turned to what mattered. What if they're playing us?
Sometimes, when Aubrey didn't understand something, she would just sit unresponsive until clarification was provided. At least she lifted up an eyebrow.
He explained. They set themselves up with two humans, two souls. How do we know they're not doing it on purpose? Competing or something. That's what they do.
Is it?
Aubrey played the fool. It's not ridiculous, Aubrey. Come on.
He shifted in his chair, and it creaked plastically underneath him. Why couldn't a demon be trying to secure your soul for hell?
Her face twitched like she was fighting against a smirk.
Why would he?
There was no way she was actually this obtuse. He tapped his fingers against the tabletop, and he shook his head. Don't tell me you buy that retirement business.
I'm just saying.
No, she was playing around. She wasn't taking this anywhere near as seriously as she ought.
Maybe it's the other way around. I mean, hypothetically. Maybe there's a demon trying to win my soul for heaven.
This isn't a joke.
Maybe your guy's the one angling for hell. I mean, who knows?
She was being irreverent, acting like none of this was real. It was whistling past a graveyard, but actually so much worse. She was whistling past her own pre-dug grave. Davy felt such a massive crash of something, frustration, anguish, loneliness of a sort, all at once. He was stabilized only by the urgency of his concern that he was so fervently, yet ineffectively, trying to get her to acknowledge. She noticed. Or at least, there was something about his countenance that she noticed. Finally, she sobered, but so clearly only for his benefit. She was hesitant. She said, low, "You know about the Book of Job, right?" Davy didn't spend 3 years as the only Gentile at the Eisenkantor Day School just to have his knowledge of the Book of Job questioned some 50 years later. She was right to bring it up. "That's exactly what I'm talking about."
She frowned.
"Is it?"
"Aubrey!" How could he get her to understand? "What I'm trying to say is, I'm worried you're in danger."
She acknowledged what he said, and yet somehow she responded by shifting her face into a gentle smile.
"I get it, but it's okay. You don't have to worry."
"You work with a demon."
"Hypothetically."
"Oh, drop it, Aubrey. Hippa doesn't matter more than your immortal soul."
There was something she started to say, but then she stopped herself. She put the work into reinforcing that gentle smile of hers, but also adding to it. She presented herself as concerned. After breathing out through her nose, she spoke at a steady, slow pace. "It was hard for me, too, at first. It just took some time." She was trying to turn this around, make it about him, deflect from herself. It was obstinacy, or it was misdirection, or it could be something else. Could demons enthrall?
"I get it, Aubrey." He was concerned for her, and he tried to make sure she knew it. You really care. You're a kind person. It's really important to you that you get to help people."
She tilted her head. There was a stillness growing in her expression.
"I thought the same was true about you."
"It is," he said, even while grappling with her strange use of past tense there. He wouldn't get caught up on it, though. Wasn't going to chew at it enough to find the sting in it.
"But that's why we gotta be extra careful, isn't it?"
"What do you need, Dave?"
He needed her to listen. "Don't you see? He's a demon. He would know how to manipulate you. How to use, you know, all your own goodness against you."
"Is that how you feel about your clients? Always on the lookout for how they're manipulating you?"
She scoffed purposefully. "Hope you don't work with too many substance use issues."
Davy would have guessed that she had a strong protective streak, but he'd never seen it activated before. This was some exceptional deflection she had on offer, but he was going to let her attempts to rile him up slide on by.
"All I'm saying is, there's a reason why sympathy for the devil ain't a good thing."
Her posture had grown so very tense. It was upsetting to her that he wouldn't drop the subject. He saw it with such horrible clarity
A demon would find such easy prey in someone like her, someone who cared, yet had limited experience with being cared for. "This is our job," she said. "It's my profession. So quit!" Aubrey Time did not appreciate him talking to her like that. She reacted sorely. Her head pulled backwards, her lip curled, and she looked at him with disgust. But he could tolerate it. He would. She said, "You're not doing okay, Dave." He wasn't going to deny it. He was an old fool who had been healed by an angel, and he was sitting across from a young lady who was risking everything without acknowledging the possible cost. "You're not safe, Aubrey!" She heard him, but she wasn't listening. Her nostrils were flared, and her mouth set in a grimace. And then her expression cleared, as though she had just settled on a decision. She said, so purposefully kindly, "You need some rest. Just go home. Take some time off." He was shaking his head and he cut her off. "This isn't about me, Aubrey. I can take care of myself, thanks." She stood up from the table. No, she couldn't. She was small and helpless, just a human. She was playing with fire, with actual hellfire, and she was too young or too obstinate or too something to recognize it, and Davy would be damned if he let a child like her destroy herself so recklessly, so needlessly. Wits come to ends. "It's like you want to go to hell!" Davy regretted saying it. Her eyes went cold so fast he flinched from the thought she was about to spit. "What I want," she said, finally, "is not to be in this conversation anymore." He'd made a mistake. He had hurt her. He winced, feeling the shame and guilt of it, as she turned away, as she started to leave. He pulled himself up to standing, his foot catching on the chair's leg and causing it to clatter, as he tried to make amends. "Aubrey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean... I'm not saying... You are not a bad person, Aubrey. You're not." She stopped. She paused, her back to him, halfway to the doorway, but then she turned. Her face was hardened. "You don't know me." "I know..." "No." She cut him off. She stood her ground. "We're not friends. And you know what, Dave? If you actually thought about it, you'd realize you don't even like me." That was a cruel thing to say. "Of course I do." She laughed, once, spiteful. "You know nothing about me. And actually, that's intentional." She was trying, actively, to hurt him. He could see it, even if he couldn't understand it. She was using all the venom she had, striking where she thought it'd do the most damage. But so far, she'd missed. She wasn't frustrated by it, though, because she knew how to be patient. She knew, sooner or later, she'd aim her strike true. She knew it. With a satisfaction, she said, "So stop projecting." And then she walked out.